When the winds of life begin to blow, don't be alarmed, for it might be the breath of the Lord. Sending your ship to the port that it must go, to keep your vessel safe from the storm. Lord, put some wind in my sails, when against my ship the sea of life prevails. When I'm drifting from my course and all my strength has failed, Lord, put some wind in my sails. When we yield our vessel to the Spirit of the Lord, we're made triumphant over every force. When the Master of life's sea is standing at the helm, He'll always keep your vessel on its course. If your ship is lost and you're drifting aimlessly, crashing on the jagged rocks of sin, let me introduce you to the Master of life's sea, who can guide your vessel safe to heaven's strand. Lord, put some wind in my sails, when against my ship the sea of life prevails. When I'm drifting from my course and all my strength has failed, Lord, put some wind in my sails. When I'm drifting from my course and all my strength has failed, Lord, put some wind in my sails.
All right. Thank you, Brother Combs, and I do appreciate Brother Combs standing in Dr. Reed's place. And I know that that's added responsibility, but I appreciate him doing that and getting things together for the various specials tonight. Now, church, the month of April has been deemed our family month, so the preaching and teaching on Wednesday night and Sunday nights will be along that line for the month of April. When we met last on Wednesday night, I started a message entitled A Day in the First Home. Tonight I'm going to continue that message along the line of To Live is Christ. Basically the same message, just extended a little bit, and talk to you tonight about harmony is Christ. You know, one of the most difficult things probably in the day of our homes of 2013 is maintaining harmony in that home. I put out some statistics in the announcer. Let me read you a few of these. And while you're doing that, you can turn to Genesis 3. This reason you're not going to have to turn far. But Genesis 3, we'll get there in just a moment. But while you're turning, let me read you some of these statistics here concerning the home. First of all, only 1 in 5 marriages make it today 10 years or more. Only 1 in 5. Cohabitation, that's for those of you that are new to Christianity, that's people living together out of wedlock. Okay, that's what that is. Cohabitation, that's just a fancy social word for it. But living together outside of wedlock or outside of marriage has doubled since 1990. Teen pregnancy is at 34%. Listen to this now. And the U.S. spends $7 billion annually on costs for teen pregnancies in America. Teen runaways are up to 2 million teen runaways a year. That's the reason, folks, there's not enough room on milk cartons. There's not enough room on billboards to put the face of every young person that's run away from home. 1 in 4 marriages experience some form of domestic violence in its existence. Over 6 million children last year in 2012 were abused at some level. 6 million children. And then there are an estimated 800,000 homeless people on the streets of America today. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but when you look at these numbers, does that disturb you about the home? Does that send up a red flag thinking something's not right here? Something's not something's not going the direction that God intended it to be. Now, I want to say this. More than likely, in many of these cases, if not all of these cases, there was something that happened in that home to cause disharmony and cause that home to get out of kilter, to cause that home to get out of position in its situation before God. Now, when we were here on Wednesday night, I talked to you about how important it is for the home to stay in order. If the home's got an out of order sign, in other words, if the husband's not in his position and the wife is not in her position and the children do not assume their position, a home that's out of order, listen to me, church, translate over to a church being out of order as well. How can a church be in the right position it should be in if the homes of the people that make up that church are not in the right position in their own home? So if your family today has an out-of-order sign on it, you need to get it in order because it's affecting everybody, including your church. Something else I mentioned to you on Wednesday night, that there are several entities that are involved in the day-to-day influence in your home. I mentioned, number one, God's involved in your home. God is, listen to me now, God is pro-family, God is pro-home, listen, and God is pro-life. Right? So God is for your home and He is for expanding your home. But there's also a negative entity that your home faces, and that's the devil. Satan is anti-home, anti-family, listen now, and pro-choice. He is trying to get every family member to become independent of each other. In other words, he wants daddy to do his thing, mama to do her thing, and the kids to do her thing. Now, folks, listen, if that is allowed to happen, you will have chaos in your home. No wonder we have kids running away at 10, 11 years old. I just dealt with a couple not too long ago, not members of our church, but of an acquaintance, and I went over and spoke with them. Their 13-year-old daughter jumped out of their upstairs apartment trying to run away and landed in a bush. Probably, I'm going to say, when I went to that apartment, she probably jumped, probably is from that railing right there down, and then on her way out, she tripped and fell two stories into a bush trying to run away from home. Why? Why are all of these things happening in our home? Well, normally, there's something that's caused some disharmony there. But Satan is trying to get everybody in the home to make their own choices outside of God's divine order. That leaves the third entity, and that's man. Now, man involved here, because God is pro-life and Satan is pro-choice, then where that leaves man is this. He's very easily influenced, and many times we're very careless about the things that go on in our home. We do not guard what comes into our homes close enough. We do not guard what our children see, who they're with. We do not guard what things that we do as a family. You know, sometimes, folks, we get so saturated with the world's philosophy that many times people cussing around our kids doesn't even bother us anymore. Or using profanity. You see, we become so saturated with that we let our guard down, and man is very, very easily influenced and many times becomes very, very careless. Tonight, I want to continue the message that I started on Wednesday. So if you'll take your Bible, Genesis 3, would you stand with me if you would, please? Genesis chapter number 3, because tonight we're going to talk about harmony and how homes get out of harmony and out of order. Now, God had created the first family, man and woman. God performed the first marriage, we know, according to Genesis 2 and verses 21 down through 25. God had began the greatest home and unit on planet Earth, and then we get to Genesis chapter 3, and something happened that broke harmony in the home. Let's read it. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Stop. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about Satan, who is anti-home, anti-family, and pro-what? Choice. So what he's going to try to do, notice it now, he's going to try to get the woman to make a decision outside the authority of her husband. Now look what happens. It says he was subtle, more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, here it is, now listen, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now we're going to stop off reading there. We'll look at some other verses here in just a moment. But church, I want to speak to you tonight on the area of harmony in the home and what disrupts harmony in the home. But I want to say to you that harmony is Christ. He designed it that way. He designed that every person, husband, wife, children, all be in their place. And if everything is in harmony like it should be, it will put forth a wonderful and beautiful sound to every member of that family. Father, now bless us for the few moments that we have. And we ask you, teach us, we pray, precious Holy Spirit of God. And we'll certainly give all the glory and we'll give all the praise to what you'll do in our hearts tonight in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to say that harmony in music is a combination of sounds considered pleasing to the ear. How many of you like good harmony? Yeah, you like good harmony, don't you? You know why? And there's just something, boy, that sometimes when good harmony is there and they hit that certain apex of that harmony, it gives you chill bumps, doesn't it? Oh, man, it's good. But listen, in music, it's the combination of several sounds and that are considered pleasing to the ear. But in relationships, it's one accord. It's in agreement with your position. In business, harmony may be an arrangement or the structure of all the entities of that business working together. Now listen, for a common cause. But regardless of whether it's music or relationships or business, when harmony is in place, things will function as they should. For instance, how many of you enjoyed driving tonight to church? You realize that when you get in your car and you put your key and you turn the ignition, that if your engine is not working in harmony together, what happens? You sit in the driveway, right? And sometimes you're en route to church and all of a sudden it decides to get off pitch. It decides to start doing something that is not according to the plan. I want to say, first of all, church, tonight, that in the home, listen to me now, there will be disruptions. Disruptions will come from time to time in your home because Satan desires to break harmony. He's trying to get everybody in the home to become independent, not only of each other, but of God. Did you notice that Satan approached Eve in an attempt to get her to make a decision outside her husband? Without any counsel, without any advice, was he successful or not? Yes, he was. Did he break harmony of the family or not? Yes, he did. Listen, if that was the goal from day one, guess what his goal is in your family today? It's to break harmony. It's to disrupt you because, listen, here's what happens. When you get disrupted, normally the first thing we do is panic. What are we going to do now? How are we going to do this? What are we going to do? We need to go counseling. We need to go to this. Many times we panic when harmony is broken. I've asked our young ladies trio to come tonight. I want to prove a point to you. So ladies, if y'all would come and grab a mic, if you would, please. I've asked them to come and to sing. So Mrs. Combs, if you would you come and give them a note? To start on, are y'all going to do Amazing Grace? Okay, to Amazing Grace and just give them a note. When I point to you, give them the note and they're going to start singing. So Isaac, you'll need to make sure that the mics are up. And I want to prove a point. But before I do that, let me say this to you. Do you realize that Satan is very wise and very subtle? And he realizes that it's very difficult for our home to stay in harmony when there are disruptions around it. And his job is to cause as many disruptions as he possibly can in your home, listen now, to throw you off your part, to get you out of harmony with the rest of the family and separate you. Because here's what happens. For those of you that have ever sung music before, listen, when you forget the words or you get off of harmony, guess what we do? I've done it many times. We panic. And listen, many times when you get off, Brother Bob, am I right? It's very difficult to get back on once you get off. It's once you get off track, it's almost impossible to find your part and get back on that part. Young ladies, come if you would, please. And y'all stand right there. Okay? That's all right. Turn around. Okay, everybody's mic on. Give them the key there. Y'all know what you're singing? Everybody know the first verse to Amazing Grace? All right, she's going to give them a key. Start singing, ladies.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
They're going to continue to sing while I talk.
But
you know, when you have harmony, it sounds right, doesn't it? It sounds good. And as long as they stay on their part, it's very, very enjoyable. God says if our home will maintain harmony, then your home can become what these young ladies are singing and stay together. Now they're going to continue to sing, and I want to show you what happens when distractions come. Continue to sing.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Now listen, let me ask you ladies, when I begin to sing what I sing, was it more difficult for you to stay on your part? Because, listen, what happened was, as you were singing, what were you listening to? You were listening to me. Now listen, what I'm saying, church, is in the home, Satan realizes if he can cause distractions, then you will begin to focus on the distraction instead of your part. And what happened, it became much more difficult for the girls, once I created a distraction, for them to stay on their part. All right, give them the key again. Okay, here we go. We're going to sing again. Okay?
Amazing Grace, how
much easier.
Sweet the sound.
You don't want me to get in your ear again, do you?
That saved a wretch.
See how much easier it is when there's no distractions? But listen to me, folks. This ain't real life. Real life is Satan's going to cause distractions in your family. And see, it's much easier to sing like this. But if I'm singing,
but now I see.
See, thank you, ladies. Now, what I'm saying, church, is this. A home that's harmonious, listen, and everything's going well, that's wonderful. But you will face disruptions and distractions constantly in your family. But listen, you've got to be able to stay on your part. You've got to be able to focus on what you're singing and not get focused on what I'm singing and what I'm doing. You see, that's exactly what Satan did with Eve. He caused a disruption and he broke harmony in the family. Now listen carefully. Harmony cannot be achieved if someone gets off their part. Then once that person gets off their part, like they did. But you know what? They didn't get off of their part intentionally. They got off of the part, or it became more difficult for them to hear their part because of me. Because of the distractions that I, or disruptions that I created. Now listen, again, let me remind you. If a person gets out of position, off their part, it's very difficult to get back on. You have to work at it. Because what happens when disruptions come and distractions come, people panic. People many times, well, sometimes they'll just flat out abandon the part. I remember several times Brother Bob and I, Brother Muriel and Brother Muse were in a quartet. And this is when I used to have a voice. And we would sing. And a lot of times, we would, you know, maybe many of you didn't realize it, but, you know, one of us, or me mostly, would get off of our part. So normally, here's the rule of thumb. You get off your part, you just go to the lead part. All right? So you just figure out who's singing the lead, and you sing with them. Now, the thing about it is, listen, what I'm trying to help us with, church, is this. Harmony is of God. Disharmony is of Satan. And he's trying to cause disharmony among the daddies and the moms and the children, because if he can get everybody independent of themselves, he will destroy your home. And so disruptions will come. But let me say this. Disruption doesn't mean abandonment. It doesn't mean run. By the way, did you notice that just because disruption come and cause disharmony, did you notice Adam and Eve didn't abandon each other? They didn't run from it. They dealt with it like we all should deal with disruptions in our life, because they are coming. Go back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at the second thing that causes disharmony in the home. The first one was disruptions. Things will happen. Listen to me, families. Many times, there are things beyond your control. Something will happen in your home that is beyond your control, but disruptions will come. The next thing I want you to look at is this tonight. Not only will there be disruptions, but there will be bad decisions made. Now think about this. Many times it's the disruption that leads to the bad decision. Here's what the devil did. What he did is he got in, he caused disruption and disharmony with Eve, and then he got her to make a bad decision after he disrupted her. After he began to question in her mind the authority of God. Look at it in verse number 6. When the woman saw that, here's the first thing, that the tree was good for food, and that it was, here's the second thing, pleasant to the eyes, and here's the third thing, a tree to be desired to make one wise, here's the bad decision. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, church, listen. Notice how one bad decision led to another bad decision. And what happens is usually that's what happens in our home. Our bad decisions snowball on us. But usually they come because of disruption. Harmony is broken, and then we start making bad decisions to try to find out how are we going to piece everything back together again. Well, they took of the forbidden tree, and then here's what they did. They ran from God. They hid themselves. Then they began to blame each other because of the decision, right? So let's follow and track what happened here. Satan caused a disruption. He disrupted harmony in their relationship. The disruption then led to a bad decision. That bad decision led to another bad decision. They took of the fruit. The next thing they did, they heard the voice of God. What'd they do? Say, hey, Lord, here we are. Come over here in fellowship. No, they ran. Bad decision. They ran and hid themselves. And then when God confronted them, he said, who said that thou wast naked? He said, did you eat of the tree that I forbid you to eat of? And Adam said, it's the woman. It's a woman that you gave me. And then he looks at Eve and he said, what is this that thou hast done? She said, serpent. Now follow me. Husband says it's her fault. She says it's the serpent's fault. But the truth of the matter is, it was both of their fault. Because they had opportunity to make a right decision, and they made a bad decision. And a lot of times those bad decisions, listen to me now, church, there will be bad decisions that we make that will produce hurtful consequences. Because of their decisions, they had to suffer the consequences of those bad decisions. Now listen, church, I want you to listen very carefully. They lost a degree of respect and authority. Look down, if you would, at verse number 16. Here's the consequence of their bad decision. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground of thy, for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and all are also in thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Listen to me, church. It was never God's intention for man ever to have to work by the sweat of his brow. God's intention was for him to provide it all in a perfect environment. But bad decisions led them to consequences, listen now, that affected them the rest of their lives, their children the rest of their lives, oh, listen to me, and us for the rest of their lives. That decision, that day, they had no idea of the ramifications of the decision that they had just made. And can I say, most of us, when we make decisions, we do not think through the consequences or who it's going to affect in long term. You see, there will be bad decisions that produce hurtful consequences. They lost a degree of respect and authority because they got pushed out of the garden. Hey, by the way, you know what that bad decision got them? Homeless. Yeah, they didn't have a home now. God thrust them out of the Garden of Eden. That was their home. Bad decisions got them on the streets. Bad decisions got them pushed out of the environment that God had created for them. Hey, listen, you know something else they lost? They lost their purity. Did you know that? Because prior to the decision, there was no sin. After the decision, they lost their purity. And you know what lost them their purity? Bad decision. You know why that there's so many teen pregnancies in America today? Bad decisions. And that bad decision cost them their purity. And listen to me, they're going to have to live with that decision the rest of their lives. They will never be able to get away from that decision the rest of their lives. Now listen to me, I wish it hadn't have happened. I pray to God it doesn't happen to any young lady in here, but listen to me, if you make that mistake, you will live with that burden the rest of your life. And it's nobody else's fault. Nobody's. Now, all I'm saying, church, is this. Many times, bad decisions will produce hurtful consequences. And mom and dad, we need to think through some of the decisions that we make about the consequences that's going to affect our children and how it's going to affect them, because some of those decisions will affect them the rest of their lives. You know, some of the decisions, the bad decisions that break up harmony in a home, not only do they produce hurtful consequences, church, listen to me, they also reveal embarrassing weaknesses. And boy, we do not want to let people know what our weaknesses are, do we? But you know what bad decisions are? They break out all of our weaknesses. Now listen to me, because of the decision that Adam and Eve made, did they know they were naked prior to the bad decision? No, they didn't. Then what revealed their weakness? The bad decision did, right? Because all of a sudden, they said, well, God says, well, what are you hiding for? They said, well, we were naked. He says, no, wait a minute now. Who told you that? Because you didn't know you were prior to you taking of the tree that I told you not to take of. Bad decisions many times will expose embarrassing weaknesses. Now listen, here's what they tried to do. First of all, they recognized that they were naked, and then here's what they tried to do next, cover it up. They tried to hide their weaknesses. Now, folks, listen to me. God knows what the weaknesses are, and many times in America today, in our home, we have a weakness of leadership. Leadership. And listen, Come on, guys, help me out. We need to recognize that if our leadership is not what it needs to be and our home is out of order, we may need to step up and be a leader like we ought to be. Sometimes it could be the wife overstepping her boundaries and usurping her authority over her husband and getting out of order and stepping over the boundary of the biblical definition of a helpmeet. Let me tell you something. Bad decisions will reveal embarrassing weaknesses. You know, oftentimes, I think probably everybody here has been embarrassed to some degree. But I found that many times when people get embarrassed, a lot of times they don't want to go back or be around the people that they were embarrassed in front of. So a lot of times they get embarrassed in situations and it reveals their weaknesses. And here's what they think. They think, well, everybody's going to think I'm stupid. Or everybody's going to think that I don't have control or that I don't have the ability to do these things. Listen to me. Do you realize that just because those things and weaknesses were exposed doesn't mean that you abandon ship and jump ship on God or His church? Listen to me now. Or your family. You know what you need? You need to shore up the weaknesses. Now, they tried to cover their nakedness themselves, and then they attempted to protect their own interests, their own testimony, by passing blame. Now, folks, listen to me. Mamas and daddies, it's not my home or your home, it's our home, right? Children, it's not daddy's home or just mama's home, it's our home. Well, a home is made up of the entities that are placed there by God Almighty. And we must attempt to keep harmony because there will be, number one, disruptions, and number two, there will be bad decisions that will be made that will break harmony, produce hurtful consequences, reveal embarrassing weaknesses. Oh, listen to me now. There will also be bad decisions that will alter the perfect will of God for your home. Did you notice in verse number 19, that God called attention? He said that from dust you came, and guess what? To dust you shall return. Now stop. Was that God's intention the day He created man? No, that was not the will of God. So what caused man now, what caused him to have to go back to the dust of the ground? His decisions. It was his decisions that forced God to then make the decision that, you know what? You came from the dust, and to the dust you shall return. It was never God's will for that to ever happen. You see, it was God's will for fellowship and peace forever. It was God's will, church, that a family have favor and fun and have family harmony and live happily ever after. That was what God's will was. But bad decisions caused them to suffer hurtful consequences, to be exposed with some embarrassing weaknesses, and then bad decisions altered the perfect will of God for their life. Now, let me say this and we'll move on. Church, it would be great if we could avoid bad decisions altogether, but it's not possible. Because listen, you've got something fighting against the harmony of your home. Not only do you have Satan fighting against it, you have depravity fighting against it. You have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all fighting against harmony in your home. A lot of outside influences. But you listen to me. All Satan's trying to do in your home is the same thing he did in the first home. Create disruption. The disruption then led to bad decisions, and those bad decisions caused hurt. Those bad decisions were very embarrassing and exposed their weaknesses, and then it altered the perfect will of God. And then the third thing I want you to look at tonight, church, is this. The disruptions, Satan created disruption, which led to bad decisions, and then I want you to look at the third thing, which may be the most devastating of all, and that is there will be disappointments. There will be disappointments in your home. Now, let me give you the scenario. We'll wrap this thing up in a second, okay? Now, here's the scenario. Adam and Eve now have been thrust out of the Garden of Eden. It was not God's will for them to be thrust out. It was God's will for them to live there forever and fellowship with Him. That was the perfect will of God. But because of a disruption, because Adam and Eve decided to make a decision and got sidetracked because of the disruption, they got out of harmony with God's will and they lost their part. They couldn't get back on their part, so they made a decision that caused them some hurt and thrust out of the will of God. Now, then started one of the most disappointing parts of their life. Now, you think, wait a minute, preacher. It's pretty disappointing to get cast out of a perfect environment. Yeah. It's pretty disappointment to have your fellowship with God out of harmony. Yeah. But let me tell you something, church, and I want you to look at me. There's nothing that's more devastating than internal family hurts. There's nothing that goes to the core of the soul than when you have internal family issues that hurt you deeply. Now, here's the situation. Adam and Eve now have been put out of the garden. The Scripture tells us in the first couple of verses of Genesis 4 that Eve gave birth to two boys. Those two boys, the oldest was Cain, the youngest was Abel. And if you'll look at it, if you would, beginning in verse number 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, church, here's what we got to do before we read these next verses. We must assume some things here. First of all, we must assume that Adam and Eve taught their boys how to have a right relationship with God. We must assume that, because if we don't, then it would be very easy to look at this and say God showed favorites, right? That God was partial to one without giving the other one an opportunity to have the same favor. So we have to assume that Adam and Eve taught their boys what and how to have a right relationship with God. What God wanted, what God liked, and what God didn't like. Okay? Everybody got that? So in the process of time, Cain brought the fruit of the ground. Verse 4. And Abel, being also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Listen now. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well. Stop. Did you see that? Did you see what I just saw? He told Cain, now if you'll go back and get it right, I'll accept it. Did you see that? He said, if thou doest well. In other words, if you'll repent of bringing this junk that I told you that's not acceptable and worship me and offer to me like I told you, he said, I'll do the same for you as I did for your brother. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be... Look at it now. What does your Bible say right there? He said, won't I accept you if you do it the right way? Won't I accept you if you worship me and do the things that I tell you to do? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, now listen to this, and slew him. Let me ask you something, young people. You think Cain thought for one second how mom and dad were going to take this? You think for one second that he considered the feelings of his parents before he murdered his own brother? No, he did not. He never thought about the consequences. He never thought how it was going to affect mom and dad. He never thought how it was going to reflect on their testimony, on their name. He never thought about any of this. He just did it without any consideration whatsoever. Now, let me ask you, you think mom and dad were a little bit disappointed? Yeah. Yeah. I think it started in a couple of locations. First of all, I want you to notice that the disappointment. There will be disappointments in your home that disrupts the harmony of your home. The first thing that I see here is I think the disappointment started with the attitude of the children. Their attitude wasn't right. And I think mom and dad were a little bit disappointed, listen now, in the attitude that Cain had toward God. because Cain had an opportunity to go back and make it right. God says, if thou doest well, he says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He gave Cain an opportunity for a do-over. But Cain had a bad attitude. And instead of going and making it right, Cain decided he's going to throw a fit. Cain decided he was going to cop an attitude with God. Well, you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me what I can bring and what I can offer. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Listen now, harmony had already been broken by disruption. Harmony had already been broken by bad decisions, and now it was continuing through disappointments. Disappointments. Let me ask you this, mom and daddy, teenager, young people, your family ever had any disappointments? Your home ever experienced disappointments in your home? Things didn't go exactly like you thought they were. Listen to me, mom and dads. Your children's attitude toward church and God didn't turn out like you thought it was going to. And Adam and Eve had a son that had such a bad attitude that what he did is he took it out on his brother. And he went to Abel and took his own brother's life. Well, I want to say this, church. You've heard me say many times and often that it would be great that when your children were born, if God just attached an instruction manual so that you'd know how to raise them to perfection. But you know why God didn't do that? Because here's the thing. If God tied an instruction manual to the toe of every one of your children and you took that instruction manual and read up too much work, I'm going to trade them in for something different. Now listen, here's what we would do. We would want all compliant children and no strong-willed children. We would want all children that would be compliant and conducive. And listen to me, because for most of us, that's the path we want to choose, which is the path of least resistance, the path of least work, the path that, you know what, that I can work and my children can raise themselves. That's what we really want. Folks, that's not reality. Reality is raising children is hard work. It's hard work. It takes prayer and fasting, and it takes a lot of work to keep those kids in line. It's the reason God doesn't tell you what kind of temperament your kid has. Could you imagine when your child's born, it's got compliant across their forehead? You thought, yeah, got me one of them compliant ones. Now listen, mamas and daddies, isn't it amazing the more children you have, how different all of them are? But I want to tell you something. They're cute. They're cuddly when they're little. But I got something. You need to listen to me. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to disappoint you. And the thing about it is some of those disappointments are going to hurt you so deeply into your soul that you don't think that you can continue on. You see, the attitude that Cain had that I think probably disappointed mom and dad, first of all, was his attitude toward his parents' authority and instructions. I believe, no question in my mind, that Adam and Eve, his mom and dad, taught him exactly what God wanted, what God liked, what he was supposed to do. And listen to me. You know what he brought before God? He brought the thing that God says, that's not what I said. You see, I'm sure that Adam and Eve got terribly disappointed in the attitude of their son toward their own authority. Because I'm sure that they instructed him what to do. And he did not do what God demanded of him. I think also they got disappointed at Cain's attitude toward God and his will and his word, because he brought the very thing that God said, that is not acceptable to me. I think they got disappointed in Cain because of each other's abilities and choices. Abel chose the right thing. Cain chose the wrong thing. Mamas and daddies, you're probably going to find out in your home if you have multiple children, some will be compliant, some will not be compliant. Some, look, all you got to do is look at them and they say, oh, yeah. The other one, it's like you have to chase them with a 2x4. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. There will come disappointments. But disappointments should never dictate abandonment. Now listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a mistake that parents are making way too often today. I hear it when I'm knocking doors and talking to people. Listen, parents are kicking their kids out of the house at 13 and 14 years old. Folks, listen to me. They don't even have enough sense to get out of the rain at 13 and 14. What are you doing putting them out? You see, the thing about it is, it may be that some of the things that have disappointed you, a lot of times, disappointments, a lot of times lead to other bad decisions. And we get so frustrated. Then listen, folks, here's what we're really mad at. Okay? We're not as mad at the kid as much as we're mad at that kid's disrupting my life. That's what we're mad at. And so, by the way, the easiest thing to do is put them out of the house, right? Or send them away and let somebody else raise them. Oh, by the way, and then when you bring them into line, send them back to me and I'll take it from there. That's what we want. Listen, their disappointments will come. Their disappointments about the attitude of their children. And listen, because Cain had a bad attitude, here's what it did. It led to bad actions. Now, parents, listen to me and listen to me well. When your children are small, you better break their will. If you do not break the will of your child, that is going to carry through their teen years and their adult years, and I promise you, there will be regrets for the rest of your life. Now, here is the harmony. Here's the balance. You got to know how to break their will, but maintain their spirit. You must not break the spirit while you're trying to break the will. And many times parents break the spirit of the child. That's the reason they run away. That's the reason they want to get out of the house. That's the reason you hear things like, "You wait till I'm 18. And a lot of parents say, "Don't wait till 18. You're 13. How about go do it now?" And they're putting them out of the house. Folks, listen. You would be shocked at how many teenagers below the age of 15 and 16 years old are on the streets of America today homeless because they were put out of the house by their parents. Kicked out of the house. Listen, mamas and daddies, it's your responsibility. Those kids are your responsibility. Listen to me, not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. It's not the government's responsibility. It's your responsibility to take care of them. And so the bad attitude led to the bad actions. And then what happens? Cain kills Abel. And then Cain resists God's conviction. And then Cain refuses God's punishment. When God says, "You will be a vagabond," he said, "Oh, well, this is more than I can bear." And then here's what Cain says. Cain tells God, he says, "Listen, if you put me out," he said, "everybody around here will be trying to kill me because they'll find out what I did and they'll be after me and nobody will love me anymore. Nobody will care for me anymore." Now you listen to me. And I want every young person, teenager and down, don't you look up here. Cain single-handedly broke harmony in his home. Mom and dad, yeah, they made some bad mistakes. But a kid can destroy a home single-handedly on his own. And we live in a day and time today to where so many things are pulling our young people, trying to pull them away from the authority of the parents, pull them away from the authority of the church. And listen, many of you here tonight sit here with broken hearts because of the very thing I'm talking about tonight. Now the thing about it is, listen, here's what I'm trying to help us with. What I'm trying to help us with, there will be disappointments. But let me tell you something, because disappointments come, you don't abandon your kids. You don't abandon your home. They're going to come. And here, a bad attitude led to bad actions. Well, let me move to the last thing, and you'll like this part. You know, even out of all the disruptions, out of all the bad decisions, out of all the disappointments that Adam and Eve faced in that first family, and harmony was broke, here's the last thing I want you to look at. That there will always be a measure of grace from God. There will always be a measure of grace from God. Go back to Genesis 3 and look, if you would, in verse 21. Now stop. Before we read this, think about this. When Adam and Eve fell, and there was a disruption, they got distracted, made a bad decision, face disappointments. Listen, do you remember that when they made the bad decision and their eyes were open, they realized they were naked? Somebody help me. Tell me, what did they go do? They didn't just go hide. What they did is they went and made fig leaves themselves. Now, folks, listen. They tried to do everything that they knew how to cover themselves. That's called works. They were trying to do things themselves to cover their sin. But you want me to show you a bit of the grace of God? Look at this. In Genesis 3:21, after God had thrust them out, it says in verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now, let's take a vote. How many would rather have coats of skin, I'll get it right in a second. Coats of skin compared to fig leaves. Coats of skin? Yeah! Everybody wants to be covered a little more than a fig leaf can cover, right? But listen, man did the best that he could. He did what he thought was best. God said, no, grace always exceeds works. Always. And so God slew an animal, and by grace, he made them a coat of skin and clothed them. You know, disappointments will come, disruptions will come, bad decisions. But let me tell you something, there's always a God in heaven there ready to make you a coat of skin. Always. Always. Hey, listen, you know what that coat of skin represented? It represented something better than we deserve. It represented something that we better than we deserve. Folks, listen to me. Why do we deserve anything more than someone outside the church whose kids did the same thing that yours or mine did, or whose marriage faced the same problems? Why do we deserve anything better than they deserve? You know what? God made them something better than what they deserve. Let me say this. God gave them something better than they could do for themselves. See, here's our problem. When situations come into home, we try to fix them. And usually what happens is when we try to fix them, guess what we do? The best we can do is fig leaves. That's all we can do. God says, no, I got a coat of skin for you. Get out of the way. Let's do away with the fig leaves. Let me cover you like you need to be covered. You see, He gave them something better than they deserved. He gave them something better than they could do for themselves. And He gave them something better than what they could have gotten anywhere else. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm not against counseling outside of the church. But let me tell you something. Many times, secular counselors do not know how to approach a situation from a biblical perspective. Now, I'm not saying that they don't have wisdom. There's sometimes you may need something like that outside. But what I'm saying is you always ought to look toward biblical counseling first. Okay? Now, there will always be a measure of the grace of God. God made them coats. Let me tell you something else He did. God did decide to continue the relationship with them. You know what He could have done? He could have said, you're out of the garden. I don't want to talk to you ever again. That's what He could have done. But He didn't do that. Now listen, let me tell you how good God is. When He put them out of the garden, think with me now, they could have eaten of every tree of the garden. They only couldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Would someone help me now, refresh my memory, what other tree was there in the garden? The tree of life. That means they could have eaten of that tree and lived forever? Now wait a minute now. Do you realize that tree of life still existed after they fell? And if they would have gotten to that tree and eaten, they would have lived in a depraved state forever. There would have been no hope for them. So you know what God did? God took them and put them out, and He put a cherub with a flaming sword at the entrance of the garden to keep them from getting back in. If you'll go check it out, you'll find at the end of Genesis chapter 3, He did that for a reason. Lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. You know what that's called, folks? That's called grace. That's the grace of God. So He made them coats of skin, and then He decided to keep the relationship. Listen, He could have started over. He could have punished them even more severely. You know what He could have done? He could have just turned them over to the devil and said, I'm done with y'all. I'm going to start over. But folks, listen, he didn't. And you know what he wants to do in your home, in your family? He wants you to allow him to extend grace. Let him give you a coat of skins. Let him extend and continue the relationship. But you know something else he did, and I'm done, and that's this. He did show the family, and he did show Cain a degree of grace also. He could have smashed Cain. He could have eliminated Cain. But you know what he did? Even though Cain murdered his brother and caused his parents grief, he still gave Cain life and an opportunity to live and make decisions. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do any of that. But he did. He showed a degree of grace to Cain. He allowed the opportunity for him to do right, which we found just a minute ago. He said, hey, look, all you got to do, go back, do it right. He said, won't you be accepted? Cain decided not to. He still extended, listen to me, he still extended to him an opportunity. He just chose not to take God up on that opportunity. Now, here's the last thing I want to mention, and that's this. Did you know in this whole ordeal of disappointment with their children, did you know you don't read anywhere in here where God or Adam and Eve ever intervened in that whole situation? The next thing you know, you find Eve giving birth to another boy by the name of Seth to replace Abel. But you don't find anywhere, listen now, you don't find anywhere where Adam and Eve says, now God, how dare you treat my children that way? They just had a small disagreement. Yeah, and one of them died over that disagreement. Now listen to me, mamas and daddies, the worst thing we can do is to intercede for our children and try to stop the discipline and chastening of God in their life. They need to be chastened by God just like you and I do. And mamas and daddies, it's your job and my job to be able to discern the difference and what God's doing. Now, again, let's review real quick. We're done. Remember the girls? Harmony. Harmony is Christ. That's what God wants from our home. He wants us all in our position, all on our part. But you know what? There will come disruptions. Sometimes the family will go flat sometimes, but it's not time to abandon. And a lot of times those disruptions sometimes can lead to bad decisions. Sometimes bad decisions create disharmony. And then bad decisions can lead to disappointment. Sometimes disappointments cause disharmony. But I'm here to tell you, church, that there's always a measure of grace available. Always look for the measure of grace that God has in every situation. Because let me tell you something. My wife and I would not be here tonight. There's no way I could be doing what I'm doing if I didn't look and exercise a measure of grace in some of the disruptions, in some of the bad decisions, in some of the disappointments that my wife and I have faced in our life. And you know what? I'm going to go on a limb to say you wouldn't be here either if you hadn't found a coat of skin for your life as well. Would you bow your heads tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm saved, no question about it.